that dealing with God, as the lesson will show, there will be no special blessings from God without obedience. No special blessings from God without obedience. The lesson, while many other passages will be brought to bear on the lesson, but the lesson will surround the passage of Judges 17. We shared with you then that Christianity is the religion of a mediator or a priest. Much of what the entire 27 books of the New Testament teaches surround the idea of a priest or a mediator or a come between. Because of sin, man everywhere cannot deal with, relate to, or even pray to God or worship God without a mediator, a priest, a come between.
Wait, you didn't hear me. Because probably when I mention man cannot relate to God without a mediator priest. Yes. But I just mentioned that man cannot go to God in prayer. Man cannot access God's throne of grace without a mediator because of sin. Man cannot worship. That's right. Man cannot give to God unless he gives it through a mediator.
And it must be a mediator appointed by the Almighty God. The necessity, the need for a priest, a mediator, a come between. That's what a priest is. That's what a mediator is. When you see, like, the book of Leviticus talks so much about the priest, what he is a come between man and God. The necessity of a priest or a mediator, that is that person who comes between man and God. And that is, if man wants to have a positive, beneficial, fruitful relationship to God, he must, in addressing his prayer to God, go through a mediator. He must, in giving God gifts and worship, go through a mediator. He must, in fellowshipping with God, fellowship through a mediator. He must, in worshiping God, worship through a mediator. And this is borne out by both Old and New Testament. In fact, it is borne out even in the Gentile world. And somebody may respond and say, but Brother Mitchell, the Gentile did not believe in the true God. But what you are going to learn this morning, that even the Gentiles saw the necessity and the need for priests. Now, so let's look in the Old Testament. And that is the fact that the need for a mediator, the need for a priest, the need for a person who comes between the worshiper and his God is borne out by Old and New Testament. Let us start with Abraham. When? Because of Abraham's lie. Yes. When Abraham believed that the men and women of Gerar because of Sarah's beauty they would kill him, Abraham, and take his wife. Abraham was partially right, because Abimelech, the king of Gerar, took Sarah. But before any sin was committed, he realized that Sarah was Abraham's wife. Keep in mind that the Old Testament patriarch, one of the time probably in a Bible study or another lesson, I'll go in more detail, maintain a patriarch-priest relationship with God. I need to repeat that. The Old Testament patriarch in the patriarchal age. Men like, well, let's put Adam out of it for the time being. Men like Noah, Abram, Isaac, Lot. These are all patriarchs. Jacob. The one who bridged the patriarch and the Mosaical age, so to speak, because Jacob had the 12 tribes of Israel that going to become God's people. But the patriarch maintained a father priest or a patriarch priest relationship with God. You remember that in that age, the Almighty God speak to the head of the house, which is usually the father. And the father usually deal with God on behalf of the rest of the family. So here we have Abraham lie, tell an untruth. And based on that untruth, that lie, King Abimelech took his wife. Watch here now in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 2 through verse 7. Let us hear it.
Abraham said of Sarah his wife.
And Abraham said of Sarah his wife.
She is my sister.
She is my sister.
And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah.
Uh-huh. Because news reached the king that this most beautiful lady came with Abraham, and she was Abraham's sister. Now, Matthew, that was partially true, because she was his half-sister. But that's not what Abraham's emphasis was, saving his own life. Abraham's emphasis was to deceive the people. Read on, brother.
But God came to Abimelech.
God came to Abimelech. That doesn't mean God personally come down from heaven and knock at Abimelech's palace door. No, God probably sent a messenger
in a
dream, as was the case in those days.
In a dream by night.
What?
Came to Abimelech in a dream by night.
A dream by night.
And said to him,
mm-hmm.
Behold, thou art but a dead man.
I think it's Elaine Mattison once said, how she put it, Master, you choose your coffin. That is, if you must make up your mind to die, so choose your coffin. That's right. That's what God sent that message to Abimelech. How he puts it, brother?
Thou art but a dead man.
You are but a dead man. Read.
For the woman which thou hast taken.
Uh-huh.
For she is a man's wife.
That message, that threat should have gone to Abraham. You get the point? Why, Brother Mitchell? Why lie about your wife? Because that lie gives rise to this king or others wanting to take her, because she doesn't really have an attachment to anybody in that type of relationship. That's the idea Abraham gives. You deceive. But something's coming up here. This woman belonged to somebody else. Read on.
But Abimelech had not come near her.
That's right. He had not committed any sin with her.
And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?
You see the drift there? Do you get the point there? If you are going to kill me, God, are you going to kill the people over whom I reign? This shows he was a good king. And he feared God. Now, don't miss why we came here. You know, we came here to show that there has always been a need for a priest, a come between, a mediator between man and God. That's why we are here. And it will be borne out almost now as the brother reads. Read, brother.
Said he not unto me, she is my sister?
Wait. It's Abimelech responding to whatever the messenger in this dream was. Did he not say to me, she is my sister? Yes, Abraham lied, and it is that lie that put me and this nation in problem.
And she, even she herself said.
Yes, she back up her husband.
He is my brother.
Wait, brother, take time with me here. You know, in many cases, it's good when wife and husband are different. That's right. Over the years, I learned this. When
wives and husbands have a mind of their own. Where they need to cooperate and unite and make decisions together, that's the way family are to work. But that doesn't mean that you must not have a mind of your own. That mind of your own helps you to help one another. That's right. When wife see husband making a wrong decision because she has a mind of her own, she can say, you know, if I do it that way, based on etc. and vice versa. But Abraham lied. Which Sarah had said, honey, wait. Honey said, call his her husband Lord.
That's
right. Huh? Yeah. Wish these wives would take a little example from that. Said, Lord, it does not going to serve well if you say I am your sister. But she tell a lie too. He's my brother. Well, in that case, your brother will be glad that you're going to get a king for your husband. Read, brother.
In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this.
That's right.
And God said unto him in a dream.
Watch here now. God said unto Abimelech, the king of Gerar.
Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart.
The Almighty God knew all that the man said. The man was a honest man. Read.
For I also withheld thee from sinning against me.
That's right. The Almighty God says, because I knew that my servant Abraham lied and created that problem for you, I hold you back from committing sin. Read.
Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her.
Therefore I withheld you from committing adultery. Read.
Now therefore, restore the man his wife.
Watch here now. Restore the man his wife.
For he is a prophet.
Watch here now. Watch here now. He is a prophet. Read.
And he shall pray for thee.
Brother, wait. I thought it's Abimelech who need to pray for Abraham. That's right. Because remember, in all of this, Abimelech the king did not sin. Abraham lied and Sarah lied. But now God is saying to Abimelech, not only should you restore his wife because he's a prophet, he will pray for you. Why? Because of that patriarch-priest relationship that the patriarch maintained with God. Brother Mitchell, say it some more. Abimelech did not have the relationship with God that Abraham had. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you cannot just run to God in prayer. But this is born out here. This seemingly innocent man need the prayer of the actual sinful lying man. Because that lying man had a relationship with God. He had that patriarch priesthood relationship with God. In fact, let's look at another case in the book of Job. Remember, we are pointing out that it's not just prayer, in worship, we need a priest, a mediator, to approach God in whatever form or for whatever we approach God. Do you approach God in prayer? Do you approach God in worship? worship? Do you approach God in taking gifts to Him? You need a mediator.
And those who are visiting with us who might not be Christian,
when the Bible states so many places that God does not hear the prayer of sinners, what I'm dealing with in this first part of the lesson today is helping you to understand why. That's why Abimelech couldn't pray to God. It takes Abraham. Look now with me, I think. It is the book of Job, chapter 42. And I think we need verse 7 and 8.
And it was so.
It was so.
That after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job.
Wait, yeah? I want you to notice something. The Almighty God had just rebuked Job. The Almighty God had just traced Job off for Job, thinking some things that he ought not to have thought. And watch here now. Start again, brother, verse 2, I said. Was it verse 7?
Verse 7 of 42. And it was so,
mm-hmm.
that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job,
mm-hmm.
the Lord said to Eliphaz,
mm-hmm.
Eliphaz,
mm-hmm.
the Tanamite,
mm-hmm.
Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee.
May I, you know, sometimes, that's why sometimes a sermon, we have to suppress, cut down, because I wish I could just take an extra 15 minutes and run to particular verses throughout the book of Job. May I? And show you that what Eliphaz and his friend did throughout the book of Job was to defend the Almighty God. Throughout the book of Job, that's what they did. Showing Job, you must have done some wrong, Job. God is always right, Job. God does not make a mistake, Job. God is wise and great, Job. Throughout the book of Job. And now, the Almighty God have just rebuked Job. And listen as the brother continue reading. Eliphaz and whoever.
Said to Eliphaz the Tanamite,
mm-hmm.
my wrath is kindled against thee.
My vexation is kindled against you.
And against thy two friends.
And against your two friends.
For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right.
May I, as I said, that's one of the greatness and can be confusion in the book of Job. And I repeat what I've just, I wish I have a little time, but there are some other important things I need to cover. To just show you the noble things that Eliphaz and others said about God. And God is saying there, however noble those things sound, they were not in keeping with my truth. Read, brother.
As my servant Job had.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks.
7 male sheep.
And 7 rams.
Uh-huh.
And go to my servant Job.
And go to Job.
And offer up for yourselves a burnt offering.
Uh-huh.
And my servant Job shall pray for you.
Oh, wait. Woo! But you see, the Almighty God had just corrected Job and in not only chapter 41, 42, the Almighty God had just rebuked Job. But why couldn't Eliphaz pray for himself? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Eliphaz and his two friends, even though they believe in God, and they were defensive of God, they did not have a relationship with God. So it takes Job, whom God had just rebuked, to do the praying for them. They could not pray for themselves. Job had that servant priest or patriarch priest relationship with God. You always need somebody through whom you can go to God.
Brothers and sisters, may I? Not only this, we see with these two patriarchs in the person of Abraham and the person of Job, the Gentile world. Mr. Mitchell, remember, the Gentiles did not believe in the true God. That's what made it interesting. The Gentile nation who had no real or true knowledge of the true God. But you know what? The God didn't come and said. What did you say, Mr. Mitchell? Yes. The God given common sense in them, even though they had not proper knowledge of the true God. They make up their own God and worship it as God. But you know what, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen? They recognized in their ignorance from the common sense God gave them. They recognize the need, the necessity of a priest or a mediator in any approach, even to the idol God that they make. Even to the idol gods that they make. They realize that if you are going to go to somebody or something higher than you, bigger than you, transcendent from you, you need to go to somebody. You cannot just go on your own. That's right. The heathen nation. So look here now. The Egyptian. In the book of Genesis 41-45. Let us hear it. Quick for me. Somebody turn also to the book of 1 Samuel 6-2. Somebody turn to the book of 1 Samuel 5-5. We are looking now just on a few of these nations as examples. Remember that they did not believe or have any genuine, real knowledge of the true God. They believe in idolatry. The idol that they made was their God. Read. Genesis 41, 45. And Pharaoh. You got it? Joseph, Egyptian wife, was the daughter of a priest of the God of Egypt. That's right. A priest of the God of Egypt, not of the true God. An idol God. That's Joseph, Egyptian's wife. So the Egyptian also believed that you need a priest. If you are going to deal with God, you need a mediator. Verse 50 of the same chapter of Genesis. 41.
And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him.
That's right here. When it mentions his wife, it always tells you who she sprang from. That's right. I always tell you that she She is the daughter of the idol priest. Let us look at, that was the Egyptian. Let us look at the Philistine in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 2.
And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying,
wait. The Philistine also fell that in dealing with their idol god, that's the god that they make. You cannot just, can you believe it? You cannot just go to that idol god like that. That's why I'm saying the unbelievers today have no manners. That's right, they believe they tell you how they pray to God and the wind, the black one, how God answered their prayer. They are ignorant and they have no manners. Because you cannot just go to God like that. And here you have even the heathen, the idolatrous heathen, felt the God that they make with their own hand. You cannot just approach him like that. You need a come between, a priest, a mediator. So here the brothers just read in chapter, is that chapter 6 and verse 2, the Philistine?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord?
You notice, Brother Webb? In other words, their idol God have the knowledge in respect to what they should do. But they and their own cannot go to him. They have to go through whom? The priests and the diviners. Look at, I think it's the same, Philistine in chapter 5, verse 5 again. Let us, you have read chapter 6 and verse 2. Let us look at chapter 5, verse 5. I think we are still dealing with the Philistine. Read, brother.
Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon or any...
Start again. Therefore, Brother Hart. Oh, it's Brother Wilson. Read.
Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon,
Dagon, the Philistine,
nor any
the priest of Dagon, that is the same. You cannot approach. What I find striking here is that even these heathen who didn't know the truth, the common sense that God put in them, let them realize that if you are going to approach a higher being, you cannot just go so. Men and women today don't want to accept that that is a fact. And that they are wasting a lot of prayer. That's right. The ungodly men and women who have not turned over their lives to God. The time and energy you spent in prayer, those prayers are just going up in the ear and occupy the ear. God is not responsive to them. The best thing you can do for yourself is turn your life over to God. Then he will hear your prayer, because at that time you would have made Jesus Christ your mediator. Even without reading, because time is going. In the book, you don't have to read this. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 10 verse 19, we read about the priests of Baal. In the book of Jeremiah 48 and verse 7, we read about the priest of the Moabite, Chemosh. All these are demonstrations that just mere common sense tells man that in approaching the Almighty God, you need somebody through whom you must go to offer worship, to give God gifts. One needs to do so through a priest or a mediator. When the Levitical priest entered the tabernacle to offer worship, it was representative worship. Brother Mitchell, say that again. I'm not sure I heard you. You heard me right. When the Levitical priest entered the tabernacle to offer worship to God, it was representative worship. It was worship not just for them. The priests, they were offering worship for the entire nation of Israel. That's right. For the entire nation of Israel.
Look at Exodus 30, 19 through 21. Exodus 30, 19 through 21.
For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation.
May I? The tabernacle of the congregation, that is the holy place, not the holy of holies. The tabernacle of the congregation, that was the place where the subordinate priests enter into regularly, daily, and offer sacrifice and worship and burn this and burn that. But that was representative. It was for the people of Israel. That's why it is called the congregation of what?
The tabernacle of the congregation.
That's right.
They shall wash with water.
They shall do what?
They shall wash with water.
Brother Webb, this is also representative. That's right. They could not go in the tabernacle if they weren't first washed.
That they die not. That they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, all this, you know, was pointing to the church and the New Testament. Yeah. Where did they wash, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God had a permanent bathtub. Bill, it was called a lava. It built there and it stayed here. And before, they always come upon it because it was at the door of the tabernacle. And they could not enter the tabernacle if they did not wash. And that was pointing to baptism. You cannot be a part of the true church of Christ if you are not baptized. Wait. Let me say it right. I didn't say it the right way. Let me say it right. You cannot be cleansed to make Jesus Christ your mediator if you are not baptized. Wait. Let me put it another way. In order for Christ to become your priest, your high priest, your mediator, your come between, you must be baptized. And all that we are reading in the Old Testament, they was pointing to this. And I'm just pointing out that what the priest there did was representative. He did it for himself and the rest of the people. He represented the people. He must not only wash the Almighty God, says, if you do not wash, there are terrible consequences. I'll kill you. That's right. Read on a little further, brother. You read verse 19. Let me hear 21.
So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not.
You all hear that? May I just run to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12.
Stay. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee.
Where are you going to sing it, brother?
In the midst of the church.
Where?
In the midst of the church.
No man or woman can offer true worship to God outside of Jesus Christ.
Wait, you can do something and think you worship. But if you are not a child of God, you cannot offer gifts to God. That's why under the Old Testament, the gifts were usually brought to the priest to offer to God. The gift needs a mediator, a priest, to take it to God. The entire book of Leviticus is about how the priest should offer the various gifts that was brought to God. You need a mediator because of sin. Man cannot approach God, deal with God, bring things to God in worship. That's why if you are going to worship, it must take place in the church, in Christ. In Judges, chapter 17, I pointed out last week that in this book and this chapter that we are looking at this man and his mother, sincere people, believing God, but they were mixed up and confused. In this passage, we see idolatry, worshipping of idol. We see will worship, worship based off the will of men and women. We see vain worship, worship offered to God, but which will bring no reward or blessing from God. And there are a lot of that today. We see convenient religion. Men, people trying to make religion a convenient thing for them. We see religious ignorance and confusion in this chapter. We see Micah's putting forth his standard and his purpose for peace while ignoring completely God's standard for a priest and God's purpose. You see, that's the rest of the lesson that was left for. That's where it's so wrong. A sincere man that was ignorant and felt that if you get one thing right or two things right, you can have your own way in the rest of it. Dangerous concept that many people today have. Just get this and that right. Well, you don't worry about the rest. You get that right, God will be so pleased with you. He won't even watch the other things where you are doing. God always watch all that we do. And a very important passage in the book. Of James will address that, but I'm going to stop right here because there's quite a few things to share with you, and this will have to come in another lesson. Very important that we can learn from this man. But brothers and sisters, even how men and women are mixed up with the priesthood today. One of the things we see today in Roman Catholicism is where Old Testament form of priesthood is borrowed by Roman Catholicism are brought over in the New Testament. You don't do that. That's mix up. You see this business about holy water and all of that. You know where it comes from? Old Testament. That's right. But there are passages in the Gospel that points out that the two systems must never mix. They can't mix. You can't have any part of the Aaronic priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood together. And the character, one of the main characters in Judges 7 is Micah, who got mixed up. You see, Micah just warned a priest. What kind of priest, his character, his qualification, that's not so important. We think like that today, many people. And this is why I encourage you to come back to the rest of this lesson. I felt those points brought out that we have spent the time on, they were necessary to further reinforce the fact that a mediator or a priest has always been necessary in man dealing with the Almighty God because of sin and because of the holiness and the transcendency of God. Man needs a mediator. Thanks be to God, He has given us a mediator. I'm going to close with one passage. I'm just going to have it read. To tease your appetite, so that you'll come back next week or whenever and study the rest of this lesson. And that passage is Judges chapter 7, verse 26 through 27. This passage is giving the qualification of God's true priest. Read it aloud, brother. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, 26, 27.
For such an high priest became us.
Wait. Somebody didn't. For such an high priest became us. Brother Mitchell, we became high priests? Because you see, nowhere in the New Testament are Christians called high priests. We are just priests, not high priests. Read that little part again.
For such an high priest became us, who is holy.
Now it is stating the qualification of God's true high priest. The high priest must be
holy.
Holy.
Harmless.
He must be harmless.
Undefiled.
He must be undefiled.
Separate from sinners.
Wait. The high priest must be what?
Separate from sinners.
What does that really mean? Because Jesus Christ ate and mixed with sinners. And the New Testament makes a big thing. How the Pharisees accuse him of being friends of sinners. But here the Bible is telling you that the true high priest must be separate from sinner. What does it mean? Read.
And made higher than the heavens.
He's what?
Made higher than the heavens.
So come back next week. Because we are going to learn that people today who are talking about priesthood, they are confused. I don't matter how big the church is or how long they're supposed to be around here. They are mixed up. And they are leading men and women into destruction. You cannot bring the Old Testament priesthood over into the new. What does that have to do with Micah? He was confused too about the priesthood. completely confused. We need to have our minds and our understanding straightened out by the word of God, so that we will help ourselves in learning to relate to God God's way, and that we will place ourselves in a position where we can help others with the knowledge God has given us. I encourage you today to remember what you have learned and to be back next week. If you are here today, if you are not a child of God, you can become a Christian God's way, thereby making Jesus Christ your priest and mediator, opening the door whereby you can go to God where you are. We are going to stand now and sing an invitation song. At the singing of this song, it is your opportunity to come and make Jesus Christ your high priest. Make Jesus Christ your mediator.